Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good morning, afternoon, evening, all you Beatles freaks. Welcome to another episode of I Saw the Beatles. This week, we have a former radio disc jockey from the 1960s who, because of his job at the radio station, managed to see the Beatles three times. Just imagine being handed tickets from your radio station. Here, it's your job. Go see the Beatles. While everybody else was fighting and sending in their postcards to try to get tickets, this guy just, that's his job to go see the Beatles. So why don't you welcome with me Rick Snyder to our show. Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Hi, Jen. Thank you. I really appreciate being on with you, and I have some very good Beatles stories to tell.
Well, let's not wait. First we'll say what radio station were you working for?
At that time, I was in the Albany, New York market at WTRY, the Great 98. And we were very heavily promoted from within, and the Beatles were very hot at that time. But I did not join them until July of 64 because I was in the Army, got out of the service and got hired there in the spring and stepped into a very, very good job.
Yeah, the dream job, everybody's dream job. We all wanted to be disc jockeys or in the music business somehow.
Right.
So tell us, start from the beginning. Tell us about the first time and how you got to see them three times, and tell us about each time.
Okay, well, I was on the air, and the program director, his name was Lee Gray, a very sharp guy and very promotion-minded. He said, we're going to see the Beatles in Atlantic City. It was one of their first appearances here in August of 64, and we had, so simple, call us up, 12th call gets a ticket and a bus ride, and that was that. We picked our winners, got on the bus, and in August of 64, bused to the convention center in Atlantic City for a concert.
Okay, now this is something that interests me, because I think you took a couple bus trips with winners of tickets. So
right.
Everybody only won one ticket.
That's correct.
So people didn't necessarily know each other on this trip. You just had a busload of strangers.
Right.
Yeah,
Screaming kids.
And that was the other thing I was about to say. And you had children, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you had to be 16 to get on the bus.
Still, you realize that in this day and age, you're just not going to take a busload of 16-year-olds from Albany to Atlantic City. It's just, I think it's illegal, isn't it? Cross state lines now with a minor.
we never thought of that. And there were some adult chaperones on the bus. And we told the kids when they got to Atlantic City, if you disappear, you're on your own. We're not going to come looking for you. So get back to this bus. And they all came back.
Oh, okay, good. Because, I couldn't imagine some, people putting their children on a bus. I mean, alone. I mean, if they were with a friend, had a buddy. I mean, people must have really tried. You were like, the best babysitters in the world.
Yes, we were.
Anyway, so moving on. So you have a busload of 16 and above. Do you remember how old, the oldest was that won tickets? I mean...
No,
were they older?
I do not. Maybe some, early 20s, but it was mostly young kids, and they were so excited. We got to the convention center. We marshaled them into a group and marched them into the building. I don't know if you're familiar with that building, but it's huge and it's old, and it was set up with the stage. They were very, very excited. We, the DJs, had front row seats. Front row.
Wow.
And as I looked around, once we got the kids seated, and I looked around, Dick Clark was seated a few seats away from me. So I got up and walked over to talk to him. I have a wonderful picture of Dick Clark and I shaking hands. Dick Clark and I worked at the same radio station in Syracuse. He was there about 10 years before I was, of course. He was a great guy. He really was a nice man. When I told him I worked at WOLF in Syracuse, he got very excited. He said, I worked there too, and we had a great time and a great talk.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, this must have been the time about the beginning of American Bandstand. I'm not sure when that started in Philadelphia. It was in the 60s, though.
Yes, I think it was earlier than 64. He'd been on the air for a while. He was very recognizable. But a nice man. We had a nice chat, and I've got a great picture. I'll send that to
awesome.
You also.
Awesome. So tell me about, you know, so everybody behaved themselves? I mean, what was it like being front row?
It was amazing. And it was so loud. That
could you actually hear them in the front row? There's a question I've never asked anybody.
Well, that's a good question, and I think we did. I'm not sure if they were going over the sound system of the convention center because they had amps on the stage, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could hear them, but it was not like sitting in a concert hall and listening. It was so loud. And I somehow got hold of a tape of that show. It's only about 34 minutes long. And I have a tape taped off the convention center sound system. So you can hear them talking to each other between their songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know where that tape is anymore.
So you still have that tape?
Somewhere, yes. Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, Giles Martin hasn't come looking for that?
I don't think so. I've got it well hidden.
Yeah, I mean, Apple hasn't come and said, you know, we need that tape, you know, for the
Actually,
or Ron Howard for his next production.
Ooh, you know, I tried to market the tape a few years ago, and
mm-hmm.
I was told, look, you're going to have to pay enormous fees to get this thing marketed, and I kind of gave up and put it in the drawer somewhere, and there it's just
I doubt that. I'm sure Giles would just love to get his hands on that and clean it up, you know?
Well, it's clean. It's clean. It's directly off the sound system from the mic to the convention center's taping. So it's very
wow.
clean.
Well,
There's
you never
no
know
point
who,
in there
who might be listening to my show. So anyway, so moving on. So Atlantic City, we got through that smoothly and front row seat and, you know, loud
yes.
and everybody behaved themselves. So what was the second time? Tell us about the second time you got to.
Well, the second time was in 60. And
mm-hmm.
we decided, WTRY decided, to take kids to every Beatles concert in the country. I think we did six of them, and I'm going to have to try to think of San Francisco, Cincinnati, Detroit, maybe two others. I got Boston, and then we did Shea Stadium. That was 66. So
holy
we took kids
cow.
In a chartered plane. We chartered an airplane, and we
You're kidding
them
me.
Everywhere. No, this was a giant station. And we were in a ratings battle every year with another station, and we consistently beat them, which was great. It just was a great place to be at that time in the mid-60s.
Oh, wow. That does sound absolutely amazing.
And then, of course, we had the Shea Stadium concert. The Boston concert was my second. That was at Suffolk Downs, which was
mm-hmm.
a racetrack. So
mm-hmm.
they were out. Are you familiar with racetracks? You're in a grandstand, basically,
mm-hmm.
with a glass in front of you. So they piped the music in to the grandstand where we were.
Mm-hmm.
We were not in the open.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was loud there, too.
Yeah, I think I believe one of my guests was at that show, that I've talked with someone from the show. So here comes the Shea Stadium show.
Yes.
And how many busloads?
Six
busloads of kids.
Yes.
How many adults?
Well, there were six DJs, one on each bus, and I don't know if you can consider them all adults. They were of age, but they were, you know, we were DJs. We were having a great time.
So there was a DJ per busload.
At least. And I think we also had some parents.
Okay.
And, you know, something just occurred to me. One of my favorite listeners was a blind guy. He was a young man, and he was blind, and he called me on the phone regularly, and he won a ticket. And his mother called, and she said, "I can't let Frank go on this bus trip." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, he cannot travel alone." I said, "Well, get him on my bus, and I'll take him with me." And
oh.
I did. He held on, and I described everything that was going on in the stadium, et cetera. She was forever grateful. We did have a couple of other adults on the buses as well, because
mm-hmm.
we had about 200 kids altogether.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
yeah.
I believe that one of my guests was on one of your buses, too.
Yeah,
I believe I talked
said to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll have to check into that. It's whether or not Sandy Borowski, because she talked about, because I was saying to her, how old were you? And you got on a bus by yourself?
With a
disc
jockey.
And she said, yeah, she didn't know anybody, and it was the DJs. And, she talked about making the bus driver wait to leave because somebody was selling paintings or pictures of the Beatles. And she says, I want to get a painting. And she had got off the bus and went and bought her little painting or whatever.
Oh. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'll have to figure out what show that is, and I'll let you know so you can go back and listen to it and hear the other side.
Yes,
story.
I'd love to hear the other side. And we, as a matter of fact, we did lose a kid on that trip.
Oh, really?
I believe it was a young lady who skipped out and went to see her boyfriend on Long Island.
Oh, my.
We did get her back. Scary moments when, what's her name? Nobody could find her, but she somehow got back and we got her home.
Wow. Yeah, see, can you imagine losing a child in this day and age? I mean.
Oh, no.
No, you don't.
These things,
no.
I don't think these things happen anymore like that.
Yeah, they just couldn't. And that's what makes them so amazing and them so great to hear about, you know, in that day and age and you know, the things you could do and you know, the fact that these people, you know, six busloads of kids, all those parents, we
yep.
just say, go
yeah.
right ahead. You know,
here's your little
lunch, you know. By the way, what did you do about food?
You know, that's a great question. Just when you said lunch, I said to myself, what did we do about food? I don't remember. It was so exciting. I do not remember.
I wonder
we
if
must
they
have...
I'll have to talk
maybe
to Sandy
we,
about
we
that.
Put
see.
Food on. I don't remember. But you know what? A good friend, one of my colleagues at the station, and I, as a matter of fact, I talked to him about this the other day, this blog mm-hmm. talk show that I'm going to be on. We chatted about it. This never came up. And as soon as we're done, I'm going to call him and find out what we did about food.
I'll have to contact Sandy and see if she remembers what happened. Because I can you imagine all the kids packing their little, you know, lunches with their little cartons of, and you can you see you little milkman with the little cart pulling the little milk cartons.
Sorry. I'm breaking into
my childhood again.
Yes, me too. We may have had sandwiches on the bus. I don't remember. I really don't. It was so exciting. Wow.
Wow, yeah. So you sent me one of the pictures you sent me, which viewers can see if they're listening through the blog talk, app or website, there'll be a slideshow of some pictures that you sent me.
Oh,
but there's
good.
One with a cop, with the Beatles and the cop.
Yes.
And you said, be sure to ask you about that cop.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did. that was in the press conference with the Beatles. And for some reason, the three guys to the left of that cop are DJs. The guy with the sunglasses, unfortunately, has passed away. His name was Bob McClay. Lee Gray, the program director, is in the middle. He's also gone. Oh, boy. And I'm kind of looking over Lee's shoulder. And for some reason, that cop muscled his way in between us and the Beatles, kind of, you know, wanted to get in there to the picture, I think. Well, I had posted that picture on Facebook, and somebody sent me a note that said, I know that cop. He was an Atlantic City cop for years, and his name was, I don't remember the name, but he knew the cop. The magic of the Internet. Who'd have thought that
wow.
the cop would be ID'd?
Did they have that picture?
No, that was taken by our photographer. So I don't think they have it.
So the family, is he still alive? Do you know?
The cop?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because that would be interesting, wouldn't it be? Because if he never saw this picture, and suddenly it appears on the Internet, and his friends, you know, even for his family, I mean, you know, all these years he's talking about how he, I was there. Oh, sure you were.
Yeah.
I stood right next to them. Sure you did.
Yep. Yeah, right. Oh, there he is.
And then 50 years later, this picture pops up on the Internet.
Exactly.
Oh, well, wow, Grandpa wasn't lying.
Oh, yeah. Ed McMahon was also in that room. He was invited. There were several dignitaries in that room with us, but McMahon was there, and I chatted with him also. It was a very, very exciting time to be around the music business, in radio, and, yeah, I got into three Beatle concerts, basically escorted into my seat, and I didn't have to pay anything. However, the admission to the Shea Stadium concert, I still have my ticket, was $2.50.
Wow. Wow. I remember when we complained because it went up to $17.50.
Yeah. Yep.
Concert tickets. We're like, how dare they? You know, what are they thinking? You know, $17.50 a ticket. You know, and now it's what, you know,
what's a Springsteen ticket go for?
Right, and I heard like the new Genesis concert tour locally. They said the tickets sold out in 5 minutes, and they're now on the internet for anywhere from $300 to $1,200 a piece.
Oh my, really?
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Yeah, they were bought up by the sellers, and they're going for amazing prices. I guess people just ready to get back to the music, you know?
Well, that has something to do with it, too. But we were in the right place at the right time back then.
Yeah, you were born just, you know, right time, right place. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
now, I never heard of the Beatles. I was in the Army. So we didn't get a lot of exposure to radio. I didn't hear them until they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. And that was the first I saw them. I believe that was in February of 1964.
Right, right. Yeah, so you didn't get the real inklings. You got the full impact when they showed up on TV. Well, Rick,
right.
It's been fantastic talking to you, and thank you so much for sharing your stories. And as I said, I always leave these episodes with a smile on my face, you know, because I got to relive everybody else's experiences with the Beatles. And, you know, I'll be thinking about this for the rest of the day and your stories and everything and smiling on the inside about it, because otherwise everybody at work's going to think I'm a little crazy.
I'll
be wondering what you guys had for lunch and dinner on that bus trip. from Albany to Atlantic City until I get your answer. Anyway,
and back.
Thank you. Huh? And back, yeah. And thank
and back,
you
yes.
so much,
thank
Rick,
you,
for telling your stories. Bye-bye. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you all next week.